Hello, friends. Welcome to Church Online. I'm coming from the studio today. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Chris. Pastor Angela and I are the lead pastors here at Beloved City Church, and we're just so excited that you're with us here online and listening online today. We're in a message series called Relational Monsters. What do monsters do? They chase you, they crush you, they suck the life out of you, and they eat you for lunch. And we're talking about how do we love the people who suck the life out of us, right? How many of you have somebody in your life that can be a little bit difficult at times? Last week, we talked about those who are controlling us. We talked about control monsters, right? And I encourage you to listen in if you missed that. Next week, we're going to talk about those who are very, 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 very needy, who are always in need. You probably know something like that too. How do we love them appropriately? And today, I want to look at something that all of us will have to face at one point or another in our lives. All of us are going to face critical people. Say it with me. Critical people. Like, I'm talking about overly critical people. In fact, how many of you would say that you have someone in your life that has the spiritual gift of fault finding? Raise your hand. Just kidding. Anybody have somebody like that? I know you probably do, right? Like, they criticize everything. If you leaned over to the person sitting next to you and you told them five things that you don't like about your church already, chances are that this message could be directly for you, just so you know. So how do we deal with those who are overly critical? Like, not only am I a recovering people pleaser who has found a lot of victory in this area of my life, one of the things I've had to learn as a church leader is to effectively lead through criticism. How do you, or how have you led through criticism where you work, live, play, and study? Because there are a ton, if you don't know already, there is a ton of armchair critics who have never built anything in their lives, right? That have a lot to say about how you are doing it, right? So let's talk about it, because I want to help you in this series on relational monsters. How do we deal with those who are incredibly critical? Maybe you're an adult, maybe a parent, and your mom or your dad still criticizes everything you do and how you raise your kids. And maybe you work for a boss that's like this. You never really hear about anything that you're doing good. You know, all you hear about is what you're doing wrong, right? And your boss is all up in your business all the time. And you know, maybe your parents are on your case about the raise your kids, like you mentioned, or the way you spend your money, and the fact that you go to Beloved City Church, right? Like, you should go to a real church there. Whatever it is, they criticize everything. Maybe it's your spouse who's critical about the way you look, about the way you talk, the way you walk, about how you chew your food, maybe about how you load the dishwasher or you don't load the dishwasher, the fact that you leave your socks on the floor, maybe, and the fact that you wear that same hat everywhere you go. Like, I cannot believe you'd said that, or you think like that, and you deal with maybe an overly critical spouse. Maybe that's you. How do you deal with it appropriately, right? And how do you love those who are very, very critical in your life? And I'm curious, maybe, you know, has anybody ever criticized your family before, or your church, or the way you do things, or you at work? And it can be really challenging to walk through this, right? And so, you know, like, no matter what you do, no matter wherever you work, wherever you live, play, and study, if you're making any kind of difference in your life, if you're in any kind of relationship for that matter, people are going to be incredibly, incredibly critical towards you. This is life. But what I want to do is I want to help you walk through this and deal with this appropriately. In fact, here's a quote for you. Not exactly sure who said it. You've probably heard it before, but the quote goes like this: to avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. Right? To avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. And so I'm not certain that you'll actually avoid criticism completely. I'm not sure if I'm any smarter than the person who said that, but I'm pretty sure if you do nothing, say nothing, or be nothing, someone's still going to criticize you for being a lazy bum. That's probably the way it is, right? Because critics are everywhere. In other words, if you are alive, you are going to deal with criticism. And especially if you're a follower of Jesus, like, you're going to be different from the world when you're a follower of Jesus. Your values are going to be different, and you're going to be criticized for it. You will be persecuted. If you're following Jesus, we need to learn how to deal with criticism. So how do you? Some of you, criticism is wrecking your relationships. The critical monster is sucking the life out of you and everyone around you. Your mom or dad's critical all the time. Your grandpa's critical, your grandma, whatever. In your marriage, you're critical. Maybe your boss is critical, or you're critical of your boss. How do we love as Jesus followers? How do we respond to people with a critical spirit? I mean, I believe this series is super important, church, to how you and your family and our church moves forward from last Sunday onward, right? Like, as we learn how to deal with relational monsters as we talk about relationships in this series. Like, I've seen so many of these creepy little relational monsters creeping in, lurking about, jumping out of the shadows in people's lives. Like little trolls under the bridge kind of thing, and they wreak havoc. if you're not aware of what they are and how to defeat them, right? So I've got four thoughts for you today to help you with the critical monster. I believe these will speak to you in a powerful way. How do we respond to critical people? First one, often you just don't respond. That's the first way. How do I deal with critical people? Sometimes you just don't respond. Oftentimes you don't, right? Like, just because someone criticizes you does not obligate you to respond. And this can be incredibly freeing, friends. In fact, this is what Jesus's kind of line of defense was, or offense, I should say, when he's pushing back against critical people. In 1 Peter 2 and 23, it says this about Jesus. Peter says, when they hurled insults at Jesus, what kind of insults would they say about Jesus? What do you think? They said he was a friend of sinners. And that was not a compliment, right? They said he was a drunk. They said that he was a glutton, that he ate too much. They said he partied really hard and hung out with prostitutes. They said he was a lunatic. They also called him a false god. He was a heretic, on and on and on. Listen, and if they criticize Jesus, friends, who was perfect, they're going to criticize you, right? When they hurled, this is what scripture says, when they hurled insults at him, what did Jesus do? Peter said, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Speaking about God, right? Notice he did not retaliate. He did not defend himself. He didn't complain. He simply entrusted himself to his Father in heaven. So how do you respond to critical people? Sometimes you don't. Like, be free, friends. Just because they have access to you doesn't mean that it demands a response from you. In fact, I love what Proverbs 19:11 says. Scripture says that a person's wisdom yields patience, and it's to one's glory to do what? Let's all say this aloud. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. This is amazing. Overlook, what does it mean to overlook an offense, by the way? See, overlooking an offense is not the same thing as pretending it didn't happen, by the way. It's not the same thing. What it means to, in fact, the word overlook comes from a couple of Hebrew words that it means to pass over it, to get over it. See, to overlook an offense is a form of forgiveness. But it's not forgiving something that's past tense. It's choosing to forgive in real time as you're walking through it with the critical person in your life. In other words, I know that's really not fair, and I know that I could get angry in this moment, right? What they said is just not right, and I know that I could fight back in this, and I know that I could retaliate, and I know that I could become defensive, and I know I could just, I could let my heart become more, you know, bitter. But I'm choosing in this moment, friends, to get above that and to overlook and to let it go, to get over it in real time. Amazing. This demands glory to rise above an offense, as scripture is saying, to forgive in real time. I'm not going to wait for 3 months, you know, to be upset and be bitter and let it settle into my life and get over this later on, maybe. No, I'm choosing right now because I'm called by God and because I've got a higher purpose, and I understand my heart may not even know the context, but I'm rising above this. Now, this is something that Pastor Angela and I have had to do recently. We experienced what was, I believe, a very, very real in the moment, deep and significant disappointment and even hurt. And there was a big part of me that wanted to get down and get dirty in it, kind of, you know, I wanted to defend. I wanted to strike back. I wanted to say something, you know, I wanted to let somebody know this isn't fair. This isn't right. And everything in me wanted to do that, to defend. And sometimes you just got to let the Spirit of God lift you above it. And so you get into prayer and say, God, help me to get over this. Help me to rise above this, because my calling is too great and the mission is too big for me to get caught up in some small offense. So what do? You choose in real time. I could let this in my heart settle in, but God's got something better for me. I'm not going to let something lower take me off my higher calling that God has. I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but every now and then when you're so lifted by the calling of God, you just choose to overlook, to pick up, to get spiritual air above this thing in real time, right? That, of course, yes, I know it hurts you. Of course it does. And I know you want to fight back, but you're going to get above this. We're getting above this. We're moving beyond it. Listen, if you're still taking notes right now, and I hope you're taking notes because leaders lean in to learn, this could change your life. Your role, write this down. Your role is to obey God, not to answer to critics. Your role is to obey God, not to answer to critics. Sometimes you just don't have to respond. How do you respond to critical people? Sometimes you simply just don't. Here's the second thing for you. Write this down. Sometimes you respond carefully. Sometimes you respond carefully. Notice this. I did not say that sometimes you react instinctively. No, I said you respond. Responding is very, very different than reacting. See, reacting comes from your emotions. Responding is emotional. We're going to be led by the spirit, not by the soul, right? Our mind, will, and emotions. In fact, there's a powerful example of this in the Old Testament portion of the Bible when a guy named Gideon was taking some heat from the people who he was leading that didn't like what he was doing, right? Here's what the scripture says in Judges 8 and 1 to 3. The Ephraimites asked Gideon, why have you treated us like this? Why didn't you call us when you went to fight Midian? And they challenged him vigorously. Another version of this says they criticized him sharply. But what did he do? He didn't defend himself. He didn't fight back. He didn't say, that's not fair, right? But he simply responded, and scripture said he answered them, and then he gave them a very, very clear, rational, very spirit-led response. He said, you guys don't understand that we worked the harvest, and God brought us some grapes, and the grapes were good, and this was intentional. And you see, the result was actually a good thing. See, he brought a very careful response. And when he did this, verse 3 says, when the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's answer, their anger subsided. See, sometimes when an answer or a response is offered, it can give a critical person an understanding that they didn't have before. And so you offer that explanation. Sometimes they receive it. Other times they don't. That's on them if they don't receive it. But not you can offer a response. In other words, at some point you're going to do something and someone's going to criticize you. Why in the world are you going back to school? Like you're gonna serve in full-time ministry? That's stupid. You ought to be in business, girl. Why do you serve all those hours at church and volunteering? I mean, why do you give up your Sunday shift to be in church? How are you ever gonna get ahead of like that, right? Like now, wait. You're gonna tell me like you're gonna be a stay-at-home mom when you've got all that talent? Or maybe the flip side. You mean you tell me you're gonna go to work when you should be a stay-at-home mom raising your kids? Like, whatever it is, right, ladies? You just can't get it right sometimes, right? Like, you can't win, it seems. But and so what are you going to do when someone does that in your life? Sometimes you just offer context. What I often do is I ask, would you like some clarity on why I chose to do this? Because half of it was none of their business anyways, right? But would you like some clarity? And you can explain and give an explanation. And sometimes that will make you make sense to somebody. And just like in Gideon's place, when they heard the answer, their anger subsided. What happens, right? Maybe your friend unleashes on you with a harsh criticism for no reason. Your coworker picks you apart, whatever. You didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't do this right. You know, your parents have been riding you for whatever reasons. And what do? You wait before you respond. That's what we do. We wait. We wait before you respond because when your emotions are high, wisdom is low. I think I'm preaching right now. Like, right? When your emotions are high, friends, your wisdom is going to be low. So what do? You wait before you respond. Right? So don't be responding when emotions are high. When emotions are high, your soul is actually leading the way and it can get you into all kinds of trouble. The soul led life is just not the better way, right? Jesus teaches us throughout all of scripture. You're to actually be led by the spirit, to walk in the spirit. You know, you're not being driven by your emotions anymore. So what do we want to do? We want to wait to respond sometimes, but don't make excuses either. Like, maybe I'm shacked up with my boyfriend because this is love, baby, right? Like, no, that's an excuse for sin. Don't be caught up in living in a life of sin either. You should make things right before God in your life, whatever it might be that so sometimes we ought to wait before we respond. In other words, when you type it out, some of us like to text, like instead it's easier than sending, getting on the phone or face to face. But when you type it, don't hit send right away. Just wait a little while. Pray about it. Sleep on it. Like, we're just not going to be driven by emotions, right? I hope I'm talking to somebody. We're going to be led by the Spirit. And then when somebody's incredibly, incredibly critical, I want to encourage you to remember that oftentimes the criticism really isn't about you in the first place. Oftentimes the criticism is actually born out of the hurt and dysfunction in their own lives. In fact, I have found that most angry people are actually hurting people. That there's some wound, and sometimes it's something that they don't like about themselves that manifests itself in a critical spirit about somebody else, right? In fact, I have found it over and over and over again that those who are very critical of me are actually often dealing with some kind of inconsistency in their own life. And the same would be true for you, friends. You see it, and it's obvious to you, but it's not obvious to the person who's there criticizing you. And I just need to say this. This is for free. I have never, ever met a well-adjusted, happy, productive, and positive person who constantly bangs out hateful comments on Facebook. Have you ever? No. Is that too real for you? like that type of ongoing anger is not born out of a mean-spirited person. It's actually born out of a wound. It's born out of hurt. and insecurity, and hurting people often hurt other people, right? That's how it works. Behind every anger is a hurt and unfulfilled healing. And I want someone to have some healing today. And so we try to remember that. So the next time when someone's shooting at us with some kind of hypercritical response or hypercritical words, whatever, when our mom just won't let up on us, or when our dad's just all up in our grill, maybe, or when your spouse is up in arms and your boss and whatever it might be, and you wish your boss was giving you the silent treatment like your wife sometimes does, we need to recognize, right? Instead of feeling defensive, I want to have compassion. I want to try to love through the wound that this person's experiencing instead of always me taking it personally. Like, I don't have to take it personal. So how do we respond when people are incredibly critical? Well, sometimes you don't respond. Other times we respond carefully. And here's the third one for you. Occasionally, we would listen and make a change. Occasionally, you got to listen and you got to make a change. You recognize that there's actually some kind of truth to the harsh criticism that you might receive. This person that is loving you from a harsh critical point is actually pointing out truth. Or from a loving, constructive critic that really has your best interest at heart. So sometimes you'll hear something from a critic that they don't care about you at all. They're just giving you a criticism. But sometimes you'll hear a constructive criticism from someone that actually loves you and has your best interest. So in the workplace, we call this constructive criticism. But it's not an excuse to be a jerk either way. But it can be an opportunity for you to learn and to grow. And I think we all need those too. Can I get up into your business just for a minute? Sometimes the people who are being hard on you are right because you haven't been listening. Like, you know, you can just ask my kids, you know, sometimes if I'm on round three of trying to help them learn something, I ain't taking the long route on round four. I'm going to get straight to the point. Be like, girl, why are you being lazy and not getting out of bed and doing the chores like I've asked you to do three times by now? What's going on here? I need you to be a contributor in this household, not a spectator, right? My kids are great. They often help around the household with responsibilities. But like all of us, we got to be reminded sometimes, right? So listen, if everyone be telling you have a problem, chances are pretty good you might have a problem. You know, if your wife who loves you tells you you'll always be yelling at the kids all the time, you just ride them all the time, perhaps you're yelling at the kids too much. If everyone of your friends, your mom, your dad, your professor, your pastor, all your girlfriend's sisters tell you that you'd be dating the devil, maybe you need to cast the devil out, right? And wait for a man of God to show up in your life and quit settling for something beneath yourself. Like sometimes you just got to listen. See if I can learn something from this. If everybody be telling you something, then maybe you have something to learn. In fact, Proverbs 15 and 31 says this: if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. And if you don't, if you always reject discipline, you only harm yourself. There are people that love you. And I've also learned a lot from critics who hate me, that have actually pointed out stuff about me that was ungodly or maybe needed to change, or simply ineffective or inappropriate. And you can learn from anybody if you have a true heart to receive. See, there's so many areas of my life that are better because of constructive criticism from qualified critics. There are even things in me that are better from people that didn't like me, that were said, that pointed some things out that helped me to be a better dad, a better husband, better pastor, better leader. In the last year, there haven't been, you know, two or three or four things that you've changed. If there hasn't been in the last year, two or three things you haven't changed or that you have changed yet because you listen to constructive criticism, guess what? You're probably missing opportunities for growth, right? So literally, like right now, even in this moment, think back, look back, pause this for a moment. Sometimes listen to it. You like internalize it and you make a change. How do you respond to criticism? Well, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you respond carefully. We're not driven by emotion. We're led by the Spirit, right? There it is, right? Occasionally, here's the third one. Occasionally you listen and you make a change. Sometimes you just got to make a change. Here it is, number four, the fourth one. Always work to guard your heart. You've got to work to guard your heart, friends. You do. Why? Because we will not be one who lives with a critical spirit ourselves, right? So you got to guard your heart from becoming critical and bitter yourself. Who has a critical spirit? We see in Scripture. Where does it come from? Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He is the one, the father of lies. You know, like, and he is the critical one who keeps shame and guilt on the burner here. And we will not allow that spirit, friends, to drive us to have a critical spirit. We just can't do that. In fact, Proverbs 12 and 18 tells us this. Some people, what do they make? They make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. See, some people just got cutting things to say all the time, but the words of the wise bring healing. Like, I don't want my words, my heart, my spirit to be cutting and to be detracting, to be life-taking. I want my words and my heart, and my spirit to be life-giving, to build others up, to encourage them into godliness, right? Like, that's what I want. Oh man, I want to encourage people. The problem is because of our sinful nature, though. Guess what? We can be critical ones sometimes. when we talk about dealing with critical people, so often we have no idea, because critical people often don't often know actually that they're actually being critical, because they justify their own criticism, because in their ignorance, they actually think they're right to tear other things down. Like, we have no idea sometimes how incredibly critical we can be born out of a spirit, out of a sinful spirit. Can you believe the way she dresses? Like, wearing that thing in here, acting like she loves God. Oh, all she loves is that job she got. She be trying to show it to everybody else, right? Can you believe the way she dressed today at church? My boss is, what a complete idiot. Like, we can be so critical, right? He'd be the dumbest guy I've ever seen. That coach, he should be fired for the way he calls those plays. I've never played a down of football in my life, but I know I shouldn't have done that. Like, if I had money, I'd spend it differently than that person, right? Like, they'd be so rich, they'd be spending it crazy. I'd be so much more godly than they are, right? They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea how dumb they look. We are so critical, right? Just being honest, I'm just telling you this, we have no idea how incredibly critical our own spirits can be. But here's what we're gonna do, we're gonna guard our hearts against that. I can be very critical. I can be very opinionated sometimes, which sounds better when we're like, I'm just opinionated. No, you're critical, right? But that's what it means. Like, some of us just need a 21-day opinion fast. That'd be great, right? Me too sometimes. So we'd be so excited to share our opinions. We're so qualified to do that all the time. I mean, we can pick apart how people spend their money, how they date, where they live, like what kind of job, you know, all that kind of stuff. Their kids, how they raise their kids, those brats, like, what, throwing a fit in a place like this? Like, oh my God, somebody that doesn't have the same work ethic as you, like, they should be working a 10-hour day and they'd be working part-time. Like, get a real job, bro. We're so critical. Our critical hearts are born out of either pride, ignorance, or hurt. That's what a critical spirit, an opinionated mindset, is born out of. It's pride, it's ignorance, or it's hurt. So what do we do? What do we do to overcome a sensitive spirit to criticism? Because sometimes we are there, right? We're sensitive to it and it eats us up. Listen, for some of you, this is keeping you actually from doing what you're called to do, because you get so wrapped up into what other people think of you. Or how do we overcome living with a critical spirit? Let me tell you how we do it. Write this down. Who I am in Christ matters more than what others think of me. Who I am in Christ matters more than what they think of me. We have to become deeply grounded in who we are in Christ Jesus. Like, we talked about this last week. Clarifying your calling. This is who I'm called to be, because I know, God, this is what you called me to do. This is who I'm supposed to be. I'm following you. I'm committed. I'm a follower. I'm a disciple. I'm so confident and assured in your opinion of me, God, of who I am in Christ Jesus, or what I'm called to do for Christ, that criticism no longer derails my life. I mean, like, I can overlook it because I've got a higher calling. I've got a higher purpose. And if you want to get caught up in the lower things, picking apart, listen, honey, I've got something that's more important to do. Therefore, since I'm already approved by God, write this down in your notes. I am not moved by praise from fans or criticism from haters. I just ain't going to be moved any longer by praise from fans or criticism from haters. I want to get caught up in following Jesus, right? Like, I'm just not. Like, you're already approved, like, by God. And so, like, your approval or disapproval doesn't derail me anymore. Doing what God called me to do, that's what I'm doing. And at the same time, because I know who I am in Christ, I don't have to get involved in tearing down somebody else either to justify myself or to make me feel better about myself. Nah, I'm just not going there. If you need people's praise to live by, if you live by the presence of everybody's affirmation, by everybody's praises, guess what? You're going to die by its absence. If you live by the presence of people's praise, you will die by its absence. See, honey, you can't be driven by what people think about you. So what I want to do, I want to get to the place in my life where I'm very, very clearly not motivated by praise from people, and I'm no longer derailed by their criticism. Like, here's another way to put it. I won't let compliments go to my head, and I won't let criticism go to my heart. Compliments to my head. I'm a follower of Jesus. Like, I'm all in. I don't want to be distracted by praise and by criticism. I want to be all in for Jesus. I want to live a life of worship. I'm just doing what God assigned me to do. I don't have to tear you down either to make me feel better. And if you don't like what I'm doing, if I can't learn from it, I'm going to dismiss it and I'm going to rise above it, because God has called me to overlook this offense. How do you deal with a critical spirit? You're assured. I'm confident. I'm going to love you. I'm not responding driven by the flesh. I'm responding driven by the Spirit of God. This is who God called me to be and to do. And if you don't like me, we move on. Some of you need this to fulfill your God-given assignment. because you've been too wrapped up in what everybody else thinks about you. And it's called idolatry. You see, you cannot please God and be living for the approval of people. When you serve God, there are going to be people who are extremely critical about you. You've got to deal with it. You got to get over it. The higher you rise, the more critics you're going to have. The more you do, the more people are not going to like you, by the way. It's a part of it. You want to make a difference in this world, so you've got to learn to live with it and rise above criticism. I'm not going to let their praise go to my head. I'm not going to let their criticism get to my heart. You got to write that down. Live by it. What do we need to know? Paul said this so powerfully in Romans 14 and 10. Paul said this. He says, so why do you condemn another believer? Why do you pick them apart? Why do you tear them down? Why do you look down on another believer? Can you just sense the critical spirit here that he's addressing? He says, remember, we all will stand before the judgment seat of God. He says, yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So what does he say to do? Let's stop condemning each other. Let's stop tearing each other down. Let's stop picking the body apart. This is his church. Let's stop causing division in his church. Let's stop being nitpicky about every little thing. We're called to love people, to love God and to love people, pursue excellence and choose joy. There is enough negativity in this world, friends. There's enough hatred. There's enough angry people. I don't want to be a voice of discouragement. I want to be a voice of life and light and love. I don't want to be one who's looking for something that's wrong all the time, right? I want to be one who's looking for something that's right. If you want to look for something to be critical about, you can find it anywhere and everywhere. But if you want to look for good, if you want to see God working, if you want to see people growing, you can see it. It's there. Trust me, you can see it. And you become what you focus on, friends. See, if you focus on a negative, you will become a negative spirit. And you will never be used in a big way by God, because he just doesn't partner with negativity. He doesn't partner with that spirit. He doesn't. And God did not look at the world and say, this is all bad. And he looked at the world and said, this is good. This is beautiful. What I created is good. And when it went bad, when humans showed up and started to make their own decision, be the boss of everything, then what did he do? He sent a good, pure, holy, and righteous, his son Jesus, to redeem what became bad and to bring back from dead to life. What was dead back to life? Because that's what the people of God do. What we do is we bring things that are dead back to life. We love people back to life, not criticize them and kill them. No. When we walk into the room, what do? Light walks into the room as a Christian, because Jesus is the light and he dwells within us. Wherever there is darkness, the light shines into darkness. When a Jesus follower walks into the room, what we do is we lift spirits. We encourage one another and we'll still tell the truth. But when we tell the truth, we always do it in love, with grace and truth. If I see you running the ball down the field the wrong way, team, church, like I'm going to tackle you, right? And say, hey, you're running the wrong direction. Not because I don't like you. No, because you're running again the wrong way. And that's what a loving pastor would do. Is like, hey, bro, we're going this way. We're kicking scores against the enemy. We're not trying to kick up for him, right? Like if somebody has something to say to us that and they're critical and we can learn from it and we can change and we recognize we haven't arrived, we don't have it all figured out yet, we're not perfect yet, we let iron sharpen iron. If it's just a distraction, a voice from the dark side, we have a higher calling, and because we've got a higher calling, we rise above the distraction, we rise above the criticism, and we overlook the offense because God is calling us and we're not living for the approval of people because we already have the approval of God, my friends. So what do? Step into it. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. And that frees you. It frees you to love people like Jesus loved. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just pray and close. Father, thank you so much for an amazing group of people here online, open to the work of the Spirit in their lives, the Spirit of God. And we pray, God, that you would speak to all of us directly from this message. And all of those who are watching online, those maybe who would say, you know what, I deal with people that are critical. It's hard for me. It's a challenge. I get it. They're all around. You may be thinking of someone right now, maybe somebody close to you. Those often hurt the most, right? Close people are hurting you. But if you say, God, help me love them in a godly way, would you just recognize that for a moment? And maybe even for there in the room or in the car, wherever you're, just say, lift your hand and say, that's me, God. I really want to. I want to know you and I want to represent you. God, heal my heart and help me to learn how to deal with critical people today, God, and to deal with these critical relational monsters in my life. But I want to love them in a way, God, and not just join their critical spirit. So thank you, God, for loving me so that I can be a conduit of your love to others. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, thanks for joining me online today. We'll see you soon.